Donc on va continuer donc cette séance avec une communication qui sera en anglais. Et je pense que dans les questions, on pourra faire les questions en français, en anglais. Comme on m'a mis responsable des transferts culturels, je pourrais même faire un peu l'interprète s'il faut. Donc je vais tout de suite donner la parole à Julia Lose, qui va nous présenter donc une communication Punk in the GDR, in their DDR, a subculture of the limit.
Good evening. My name is Julia Lose. I'm from Hamburg, Germany. At the moment, I'm studying history of arts and German language and literature at the University of Hamburg. The title of my presentation is Punk in the GDR, a subculture at the limit. And all quotes were translated by myself. First, I will inform you about the development of punk in the GDR. Secondly, I would like to tell you something about the persecution of the state. After that, you will hear some information about the publication and the distribution of punk music. Point 4 and 5 are the church as place of refuge and the appearance of the punks. My last point will be the end of the GDR punk. Quote, this story was made up. Never have young people presented a rebellion stains by their appearance, words and actions, their music and lifestyle before. Never had adolescents been betrayed, discriminated, punched, and brought into jail only for the purpose of their lifestyle habits. There had never been a GDR where this could have happened, unquote. The mind that punk didn't exist in the GDR holds until now. Even though there's enough evidence of the existence of punk under the strict reign of the Socialist Unity Party of Germany. However, punk in the GDR was completely different than in West Germany because of its emergence and continuance under difficult conditions. According to that, quote, the GDR punks were probably the real punks, unquote. Once formed from the roots of aesthetic aspects and the desire to be different, they had something to fight against no matter if they wanted to or not. After punk had become popular in Britain and found supporters in West Germany too, its movement began to start in 1977 as well in the GDR, and the first punks were occasionally seen on the streets of East Germany. Until the year 1980, there had been a formation of peer groups in the punk scene, which took place especially in East Berlin. Other central points of the subculture in East Germany were Dresden, Erfurt, Halle, and Leipzig. You can see them were highlighted on the map. From the very first, there was a big misunderstanding of the general public because most of the people thought of punks as rowdies. Slogans such as, people like you should be gasified, weren't isolated cases, but constant part of the living as a punk in Eastern Germany. The first punk wave was followed by the phase of emergence that took place from 1997 till 1938. Groups of punks were formed around the different punk bands and the punk scene spread throughout the central cities in all of the districts. The number of punks increased a bit, but was still a manageable amount. Through the growing number of its members, the scene became elitistic, which means that who didn't fit in their particular pattern for any reason was excluded by the scene. At the year 1984, the first punk wave was, as far as possible, destroyed by the governmental secret police. But just after a little time, the second punk wave started. From 1968 on, punk music was tolerated by the state. The presenter of the radio station DT64, Lutz Schramm, presented on the 27th March of 1968 a so-called underground radio show. This show reported about various punk bands, which were officially called the other bands. Quote, however, the word punk wasn't mentioned in the GDRS media, unquote. In the middle of the 80s, the second punk wave of the GDR became more important because of the other bands. These other bands were allowed to play in official clubhouses and escaped the observation slowly because they voluntarily accepted it. Nevertheless, all the presented acceptance, the spying and imprisonment didn't stop. Punk was the first subculture that was really put under pressure by the government. There was an instruction from the government mentioned as Milke order. That order allowed every employee of the state security service, the police, and the crime investigation department to treat the young people after their own measurements. Therefore, the adolescents were often held on and abused for days. The punks officially showed that they were against the system and early refused the educational system. The ones who had no work were already criminal in accordance with paragraph 48, antisocial behavior, out of the penal code. Quote, antisocial is meant quite verbal. It isn't just about specific crimes such as theft or assault, but separation from the society. Who couldn't be criminalized by the Ministry of State Security was shifted to the army. But in most of the cases, the criminalization was successful through the many absurd paragraphs. In 1938, less than 900 active punks were counted from the state security and had been confronted with 10,000 full-time employees of the state security and 500,000 unofficial employees. At the beginning of the punk movement between 1997 and 1981, the state security was presented by the Department K1 of the Criminal Investigation Department and tried to allure unofficial employees in the punk scene. The espionage measures of the state security were pretty successful because there were several ways to win the young people for their cause. Either it was with money and other goodies, or by exerting physical and psychological pressure on them. The regime generally saw a threat in the music scene, and therefore key figures were quoted in early bands. Among these bands, there were the punk band Schleimkeim, Die Firma, La Attentat, as well as the art punk band Zwitschermaschine. During concerts with the Criminal Investigation Department or Simula, the punks had to be very careful not to say anything hostile about the state. When the fall of the Wall of Berlin and the reunification of Germany made it possible to have a look at the state security files, many became aware of the all-encompassing spying activities. The files contained daily conversations which had mostly been overheard, documented, and handed over to the state security by unofficial employees. For convenience's sake, the unofficial employees were people in the vicinity of those who were spied on, such as friends, relatives, or acquaintances. At the first big punk festival in the Christusgemeinde in Halle on the 30th of April in 1938, and at other events, numerous arrests were made within the music scene, justified by the accusations of, quote, agitation against the state, unauthorized approach, and public vilifications, unquote. The accusations were based on transcripts of the lyrics made by unofficial employees of the state security during the concerts. Many musicians had to go to prison for at least 7 months, up to 2.5 years. The fact that minors were arrested wasn't a rarity. For example, the minor drummer of the band Namlos, Mita Sharmal, was arrested during the concert on the first punk festival. Today, many of them have problems to get a pension for being a victim of political persecution because they aren't able to prove that their imprisonment was politically motivated. Erich Milke, the Minister of State Security, wanted the streets to be cleaned of the, quote, negative rubbish, unquote, in 1948, because the National Youth Festival of the so-called Free German Youth, which was the nationwide youth organization of the GDR, had to take place in this year. Until fall of 1948, the state security had succeeded in smashing the monthly circle, which was a weekly conversation round with lectures and concerts organized by hippies and punks. In the central cities, Berlin, Erfurt, Leipzig, and Magdeburg, the first punk wave was destroyed in 1948 by the government. The dissemination of punk music in the GDR happened primarily via tapes. The self-produced tapes of the punk bands were then sold by the sporadic tailed concerts or sent by mail over a secret system which was only known by the insiders of the scene. The distribution of punk music and the concerts were illegal. Rehearsals and sales of flats were often converted into concerts as there weren't any possibilities to perform for the bands. Publications of GDR punk music in West Germany were also forbidden and sentenced with up to 2 years imprisonment. In 1998, the program Paroxicum appeared on the youth radio DT64 and played songs of international and West German punk bands as well as East German punk. Meanwhile, the tapes had reached a wide audience, and so the GDR radio even commissioned recordings in 1978, but these remained largely unexpected because they rarely withstood the drastic censorship. Records from West Germany were very popular but difficult to get. They were partly smuggled into the GDR by the grandmothers for their grandchildren, because from the age of 60 up, they were allowed to travel to the west of Germany. The official record label in the GDR was called Amiga and produced only 15 records a year. Since 1978, there had been sporadically published some records of the other bands by Amiga. A year earlier, punk bands which had an official playlist since could perform in clubs of the GDR youth. The required classification was criticized in the scene and split it up. On the one hand, not every band wanted to get a classification because it was associated with many changes and restrictions on freedom. On the other hand, not every interested band got one. The punk in the GDR was characterized by the search for freedom and self-assertion. That often led the GDR punks in contrast to the West German punks to the Protestant churches. In the middle of the 80s, groups of GDR punks organized concerts with punk bands from the West, Poland, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and Hungary within the church. One of those bands that played at the concert, which took place at different locations, was the Toten Hosen from the west of Germany. Between 1997 and 1998, hippies, punks, and ordinary churchgoers came together to witness self-made lectures, concerts, and readings in the Protestant churches. Until 1978, anti-fascist groups were formed in meetings in the churches, and the first plans for demonstrations and occupation of buildings were made. That certainly didn't lead to the collapse of the GDR, but contributed to the destabilization of the system. However, punk in Eastern Germany probably wouldn't have existed without the support and helpfulness of the Protestant church, which often offered the young people a space that couldn't be destroyed by the state security. The first GDR punks copied and improved the look of their role models, which they saw on photos in German magazines like Bravo. They found their primal leather jackets on waste dumps and customized them with self-made patches or painted them. All in all, the appearance of the GDR punks were less extreme than of the punks in the west of Germany. They mostly wore sport jackets, cut their hair a little bit shorter than normal, and often didn't even dye it. Mostly the hair was only shaved with soap, but if the hair had to be more colorful, it was dyed with watercolor. Certainly the watercolor wasn't very expressive, and the next rain shower could destroy everything. Previously acquired patches of their civic life served the punks as additional accessories. Quote, the badges for good reading, the banner for special collective service, the small red and gold emblems for the public holidays, and the medals of the Soviet-German friendship. By looking at the photos which show GDR punks today, it's hardly imaginable that this appearance led to such measures. Nevertheless, they were like aliens in the cityscape because of their looks. After the fall of the Wall of Berlin, most of the scene moved to the west of Germany, and the ones who stayed in former Eastern Germany tried to forget the past. Some continued their artistic careers like Cornelia Schleime of the art punk band Zwitschermaschine, and others captured civil professions. Many were still creative, some had to be pensioned earlier, like Mita Shamal, others became criminal and were imprisoned or committed suicide. According to Michael Boelke, a former GDR punk, all of them weren't able to survive in the new system because of the punishment they had to deal with at a too young age. Only a few of the former GDR punk band members continued to play music or formed new bands because there wasn't any further interest in the GDR punk anymore, and the reason for the resistance was taken from them. Here are my sources, and thanks for your attention.